Welcome to segment two of the TKO.
On this segment, we're going to talk about UFC 129. Huge, huge card coming up this weekend. Headline fight, obviously, is GSP and Jake Shields. I say obviously because you've been living under a rock and you shouldn't be listening to this show if you don't already know that. Huge implications for this
definitely.
Fight.
Welterweight championship up for grabs. And, of course, you know, on down the line, if GSP can handle Jake Shields and Anderson Silva handles his next fight, we're looking at the super fight between the two of them, which I'm so excited for.
Awesome. That would be awesome. That would just make my life. I could die after that and be all right. You know, they've been doing the UFC road to, you know, 129, where they've been doing it for the past 3 weeks now, Wednesday night, I believe, at midnight. And they'll show GSP and Jake Shields in their training camps, you know, what they've been going through to get ready for this fight. And, you know, I honestly watch it and I'm impressed with Jake Shields. But I still don't think he has a prayer to win this fight. I really don't.
I think he's got a prayer, but that's all it is at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, GSP is just so far beyond him in just about every aspect of his game.
Except for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, except for the jiu-jitsu. Know?
And my thing is, okay, GSP, not only is he a great fighter, he's a smart fighter.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows that Jake Shields is better than him at jiu-jitsu. So if he does take him down, he's going to get right back up because he can handle people on their feet. Just ask Josh Koscheck, who's getting his orbital restructured in his face. You know, so I just think that the only way GSP loses this fight is if he starts feeling himself a little too much and decides that because he's been working jiu-jitsu too, he's going to try to take Jake Shields as far as jiu-jitsu goes. But I don't think that he's that stupid.
Well, let's be real about GSP's talents, though. I mean, he's pretty good at jiu-jitsu himself.
Yes.
I mean, you saw him just about break off Dan Hardy's arm a couple different times. I mean, he has some jiu-jitsu.
He has some, but this Jake Shields, to me, is the best jiu-jitsu practitioner in that weight class.
I'll give you that. I mean, Jake Shields is better at jiu-jitsu, but I think it's going to be really hard for him to catch GSP in any type of a submission.
Well, I just wanted to say, too, you know, we were talking about this before. Jiu-jitsu is kind of a dying art in UFC. I think the sport has moved beyond it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if you have a pure wrestler versus a pure jiu-jitsu guy, usually the wrestler comes out on top.
That's
and
true.
Even though GSP is not a pure wrestler, he has proven his wrestling again and again and again.
Well,
he's a fantastic wrestler.
Possibly being on the Olympic team for Canada is with wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, that you're pretty good.
And I mean, we saw how GSP handled another great jiu-jitsu practitioner when he just decimated Matt Serra. You know, I mean,
yeah, but
another guy who was great at jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I still think that Jake Shields is just kind of a new school. I mean, he hasn't lost in, what, 5 years, is it?
Something like that.
I'm not trying to undercut what Jake Shields has done as a fighter. He's a good fighter. And, you know, it seems like his striking is coming along with the people he's working with. You know, but it's not where it needs to be to mess with GSP. And like I said, I think the only way GSP loses this is if he decides that he wants to go jiu-jitsu with this guy. That's the only way I see. I don't see Jake Shields doing a Matt Serra and getting, you know, a knockout with a crazy punch or anything like that.
I mean, you've always got a puncher's chance in MMA. You've always got that.
Yeah.
Matt Serra was not known for huge hands, but he got it anyway, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, that could happen, but it's highly unlikely. And,
yeah.
And I think Jake Shields winning the fight anyway is highly unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, GSP is just, I haven't really seen anyone yet where I'm watching them fight and going, yeah, he could take GSP.
Yeah.
You know, I just haven't seen that.
Honestly,
yet.
In my book, in any other division, I don't think Jake Shields gets a title shot. I think in this division, because GSP has just cleared it out of all contenders, you know, Jake Shields comes in, has one very narrow, you know, by the skin of his teeth victory.
A lot of people thought that he lost.
Yeah.
I mean.
And, you know, gets a title shot. I think in any other division, he'd be fighting someone else.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Which this kind of can be seen maybe in another weight division with another fight that's on the card. Not a headline fight, but one with Ben Henderson, who was a champion in WEC, you know, lost his last fight to Anthony Pettis, comes in and gets
Mark Bosek.
Yeah. Honest Rob, can we get some stats on Bosek?
What
he's been up to.
Sure. Bosek, he's the type of fighter, and we've talked about a lot of fighters like this. We like to call him like the level one boss. He's the guy that is the gatekeeper. He holds the keys, but he's certainly not going to make any kind of title run.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, he's 9-3 professionally. He's won a few recently against Joe Brammer, Dustin Hazlitt. But then he's lost a few big ones and semi-big ones. He lost to Frankie Edgar back in 2007. We all know where Frankie's at now. Mm-hmm. He lost to Jim Miller, who was a personal favorite of mine, mm-hmm. recently. That Jim Miller fight was at UFC 111 in 2010. And he even lost to Mac Danzig.
Big Mac.
So he has some losses of people that you would expect him to lose to, but at the same time, he doesn't have the big
marquee wins.
He doesn't have any big wins.
I mean, Dustin Hazlitt, McLovin, that's something to brag about.
I mean, it's a decent win, but at the same time, he doesn't have that marquee win that says I'm trying to make my title shot.
And what bothers me is that someone like Anthony Pettis, who I'm a huge fan of, should already know this, comes in and gets Clay Guida, who is a great fight. Don't get me wrong, but. Then all of a sudden you got Ben Henderson, who just barely lost that fight, which if Anthony Pettis didn't jump off the fence and kick him in the face, Henderson might have actually won that fight. But, you know, and he gets this kind of no-name, you know. I mean, he beat Donald Cerrone twice. I mean, and Donald Cerrone is a good fighter.
He's a good fighter,
You know, I don't understand sometimes what the UFC does with some of these fighters coming in. You got Jake Shields, who barely wins, and he gets a title shot next.
You got to understand on paper, though. I mean, you got Showtime Pettis coming off a win, and you've got, you know, Ben Henderson coming off a loss. So, I mean, you get placed against an opponent, you know, accordingly.
I definitely agree with Brad, though, too. I feel like sometimes the UFC makes some guys work their way all the way up the ladder. For Jim Miller, for example, we were talking about, and other guys just walk right into the top tier or the second tier.
And you got Jake Shields, who has a barely win that most people didn't even, the judges gave it to him, but most people... You know, didn't even think he won that one. It was a split decision win. And, you know, he gets the title shot next? Really? You know? I mean, I think it definitely does have something to do with how the divisions are stacked. Some more than others.
I mean, lightweight is a very stacked division.
He's kind of cleared out that whole division there. So, side note. Something I wanted to speak on a little bit. Next headline fight. Excited about this
big one.
We got Jose Aldo going up against Hominick. I'm mostly excited just because I want to see Jose Aldo. I don't think Hominick really has a prayer in this one because Aldo is just, he's the Tasmanian devil.
I mean, head and shoulders above everyone else in that division.
I mean, really, I'm trying to think of someone that would be very interesting to see him up against, and I can't come up with anything. I mean, he would just destroy everyone, you know? And Hominick, he's a good fighter. I really actually do like Hominick.
Yeah, he is. He's very precise as far as his striking goes.
He's a technical striker, and you don't see that as much nowadays. He thinks that his technical ability in striking is what's going to win him the fight. If he has a prayer, that's where it lies.
Yeah, if anything is going to beat Jose Aldo from Mark Hominick, that's what it would be. But I don't give him much of a shot. And I'm really excited to see Jose Aldo in the UFC. I really am.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he has a very bright and long career as an MMA fighter in the UFC.
I mean, this is a guy who single-handedly made Uriah Faber drop down to bantamweight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, people move out of that division because no one wants to face him.
Yeah.
I mean, he just straight decimates people. I mean, it's not even funny sometimes. Okay, it is a little funny. But, you know, for the most part, yeah. I mean, like you said, he's just head and shoulders above the rest. I feel bad for Hominick because I really do like him, but I just don't. I don't think he's going to come out looking the same, feeling the same. It's all downhill from here, I think.
Yeah. Hominick's in for a rough night, and if he's convinced himself that his technical striking is going to win the day, then, you know, I guess do what you got to do to get your mind right. But
I mean, to me, it's Jake Shields GSP. You know, you got to give yourself, you know, a puncher's chance, and he has a puncher's chance, but is it likely that he will beat Jose Aldo? I don't think so.
No, definitely not. The other big name fight on the card we need to talk about is Randy Couture versus Lyoto Machida. We talked about it on the last segment of the podcast. Randy Couture, probably his last fight in the octagon. He says he's going to retire after this one. What do you think this means as far as implications in the light heavyweight division here?
Not too much.
Yeah.
He lost, you know, Machida lost to Rampage Jackson. I think the mystique has worn off about how great of a fighter he is. I never bought into it in the first place. I remember when he, you know, got the belt, it was, the Machida era has begun. I didn't buy it. You know, so I think that if Machida wins against Randy Couture, I would say he has at least another two fights before they would start talking title shot.
I would have said one. After a win like Couture, I think that's a big feather in your cap.
But then again, like, who did Couture beat last? You know, Brandon Vera, who is now kicked out of UFC. You know, it's like, so I would say if he beats someone, you know, beats Randy Couture, and then, say, beats a Phil Davis, Rashad Evans, if Rashad loses or something like that, then I would say, okay, you know, it doesn't really matter. Anyone's going to get destroyed by Bones Jones anyway. Yeah. But, yeah, I would say at least another two fights before they start talking title shot.
Yeah, one or two, definitely. The interesting thing about this fight is it could be one of the most boring fights we've ever seen. I mean, with both of these two guys, their elusiveness in the cage,
yeah,
there might not be a strike landed for three rounds.
Well, really, the whole reason that this fight is set up and why Randy Couture wanted it is because it's a puzzle, and that most people can't get their hands on Machida, and he said that's why he wanted the fight, because that's his expertise, is putting his hands on people. So I think that we're going to see Couture kind of old school Couture, like, you know, none of this dancing around. You know, I think he's going to go for the takedown and he's going to ground and pound Machida for three rounds. And I think, you know, there was something that Rampage Jackson, one, couldn't do, and two, didn't really seem to want to try to do in the last fight that we saw, you know, which was, you know, Rampage and Machida in Detroit. So I'm excited to see it, you know.
Fun fact, Randy's last win was actually James Toney. I know you guys forgot about that. That was a hilarious
fight. It was kind of forgettable.
Jeez.
But, yeah, I had forgotten about Mark Coleman, and I had forgotten about James Toney since Brandon Vera. So fun fact. But
honest, Rob, you always get me.
I made me laugh, you know, because James Toney was ridiculous.
It was. That was such a publicity stunt. Didn't work out very well at all.
No, not for Toney.
Another fight on the card we need to get to here is Vladimir Matyushenko is going to fight Jason Brills.
I think a pretty interesting fight. You know, Jason Brills had that loss to Little Nog, who, if you watch the fight, I know I thought he won. I mean, I thought pretty convincing. I thought it was a unanimous decision, and he ended up losing. So, you know, he's a really game fighter, and he took that one on short notice against, you know, Little Nog, who's kind of a legend in the sport. And then Matyushenko, I don't really know a whole lot about him. They've been making a big deal about him for a while now.
But he hasn't really shown up. He hasn't lived up to
the
hype, really.
I mean, his first big billing fight was against Bones Jones, which he got destroyed. But then again,
everyone
gets destroyed by Bones Jones. Honest Rob, do you have some stats on Matyushenko that you could look at for us?
Yeah, more. I'm feeling in a good mood. I've got more fun facts for you. Here, Matyushenko is kind of like we were talking about Bosek, and that he's lost the big ones. Matyushenko lost to John Jones, earlier end of last year in 2010 in August. He lost to Little Nog back in 2009. Also lost to Andrei Arlovsky back at UFC 44.
Wow.
Lost to Tito Ortiz.
Wow.
And actually his only other loss is Vernon White, but that was in the IFC Montreal.
Okay.
So, but the ones we would hear about were Ortiz, Arlovsky, Nogueira, and John Jones.
So has he won any big fights?
Yeah, does he have any notable wins, really?
He's won a lot. At this point, he's 25-5, but I'm not seeing anything on here that jumps off the page.
Really, any great opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I you know.
Tim Biatch. Oh.
Good old Tim Boach, if you will. Yeah.
Sorry. Inside joke, guys.
Yeah, sorry.
August 2nd, 2007, he did beat Tim Boach. But that's the only one that I'm seeing here.
It's still, that's not a great one.
Not a marquee win, really, no.
One. But, you know, so, but anyone who wins that much, as far as I'm concerned, I'm at least excited to see what you got.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't show what you got against Bones Jones. It's not going to happen.
Brills himself has a pretty decent record. I mean, he's 18-3-1. Honest Rob, do you have any stats on Jason Brills? Any notable wins or losses coming out of?
Yeah, I mean, like we were talking about, Brills has a lot of wins on here too. Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira was a loss though, and the only other loss I'm seeing is Elliot Marshall. The most recent win looks like would be Eric Ravishing Red Schaefer. Also beat Tim Boach. But other than that,
similar wins. I like it.
Other than that, I'm not really seeing anything here that jumps off the page either. So
I think it could kind of come off as one of those fights that maybe isn't catching a lot of attention, but by the end of the night, I think people are going to know who both these
are. I think they're pitting two up-and-comers against each other, maybe, and trying to you know, push one of them. Whoever wins, maybe you'll get a decent fight coming up
level
next.
Level 2 boss.
Yes, level 2 boss.
Level 2, not level 1.
The last fight on this card we're going to talk about tonight anyway is going to be Nate Diaz versus Rory McDonald. And Honest Rob, we're going to shoot it over to you here for some stats on these guys. Nate Diaz doesn't have that impressive of a record at only 13-6, but his talent is pretty at a pretty high level. Honest Rob, you have some stats there on Mr. Diaz?
Yeah, like you said, Diaz is at 13-6. His most recent fight was a loss to Dan Hyung Kim back at UFC 125. And you know, so I mean, but he did beat Marcus Davis, Rory Markham. He lost to Gray Maynard, but he did beat Melvin Gillard. He's beaten Josh Neer, Kurt Pellegrino. So he's got some big names in there, but he's lost to Joe Daddy Stevenson, Clay Guida. So he's been very up and down.
Yeah,
very
it could be, up and down. Could be interesting with him going. This fight's going to be in the welterweight division, so he's going back up to 170 after a stint at 155. You know, maybe see a little bit bigger Nate Diaz.
Yeah, just kind of finding himself, I think. Yeah. You know, you got to think that most of his professional fights have been in the UFC, which is going to affect your record more than someone else who comes up doing amateur fights and can really build up a lot of wins that way.
Yeah.
And then the losses come when they're in UFC. Speaking of Diaz, though, his older brother, Nick Diaz, taking a step back from MMA, going into boxing, looking to fight Jeff Left Hook Lacy in a boxing match. Just kind of, you know, news and notes.
Good. Get him out of my sport.
He's a good MMA fighter. I don't think he's going to get it done against Left Hook Lacy in boxing. But real quick, let's do kind of a round robin thing. Predictions for UFC 129. Headline fight, obviously. GSP, Jake Shields. I'm taking GSP.
Definitely GSP.
Give me GSP all the way. We don't even need to back it up.
Yeah. Next up is the featherweight championship, Jose Aldo versus Mark Hominick. I'm taking Aldo.
I'm taking Aldo.
I'm gonna go with Hominick.
Oh.
And I know, as we've talked about, I know that that's a way out there. I just think it's gonna be an upset.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay, honest Rob is out on the limb.
Yeah. Yep. Different. I like it. I like take a stand, Rob.
Next fight up is gonna be Randy Couture versus Lyoto Machida. I'm taking Machida.
Ooh. I'm gonna go Couture. I think he's gonna put him on his back and grind him out for three rounds.
Okay.
Can I say draw?
You're gonna call for a draw?
No. I'm gonna go with Couture, but I think it's gonna be a close fight.
Okay. Next fight we're gonna go with Matyushenko versus Brills.
I'm gonna go with Brills.
I think I'm gonna take Brills as well. Honest Rob?
I've also got to go Brills just because there's Matyushenko doesn't really impress me
and
at this point.
He's going to come out saying, let me see your Brills. Yeah, Brills.
Never again, Brad. Never. All right, next fight is going to be Ben Henderson versus Mark Bosek. Brad, who you got?
Henderson all the way, not even close.
Honest Rob?
Henderson.
I think I'm going to have to go with Henderson, too. I like the redhead, but I think I'm going to have to go with Henderson on that one. And then our last one is going to be Nate Diaz versus Rory McDonald. I'm going Diaz.
I'm
going
to go Diaz, too.
Yeah, Diaz, too.
Actually, right. You know what? I'm going to go McDonald's.
All right.
He's switching it up.
I'll buy it.
You're a flip-flopper, Brad. You're a flip-flopper.
I am. I'm a flip-flopper. That's going to do it for us here on the TKO. I'm Brad.
I'm Honest Rob with Stats.
And I'm Jason. Everybody remember to never leave it in the hands of the judges.